views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello and welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It is delightful to be with you and to be joining my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Great to be here. Great to be starting a new month.
It is great to be starting a new month. I'm always so amazed that, you know, you're in British Columbia, I'm in Western Massachusetts, and when we come together, it feels like you're sitting right across from me. It's always a joy. So we're going to talk about right action. We have a whole new month. That means we've been through 3 months. It kind of feels like our quarterly taxes. So I felt like we should do a review, and we should just talk about a little bit about where we've come and where we're going. Because what I love about all of this dialogue, Dorothy, is that it seems like each month builds upon the last. And this month seems to build upon the last in ways that are really equally complex and equally just fun and exciting. So do you mind if I just do a little recap, at least from my experience?
Please do, Steve. Go right ahead.
Good. Well, we started the whole shebang with humanity talking about who we are as human beings and what is our place here on Earth and what do we have in common and what are we striving for. It was an amazing month. And I think for both of us, what stood out was that amazing quote that says, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, but spiritual beings having a human experience. And it seemed like as spiritual beings, we came to the conclusion that we can tap into certain universal truths. And one of the big ones was that we are interconnected. We are part of the one life. And that as being a part of that one life, we have access to a collected consciousness. And then that moved us on to hope. We spent an entire month talking about hope. And it seemed to be built upon this acknowledgement that human beings evolve, that change is inevitable, and because the universe is expansive in nature, that options abound. And if we mix options with optimism, we generate hope. So if we align ourselves to momentum, that was a big topic, and expansiveness, we basically create our reality. And so that led us to, well, what creates reality? And thought actually creates our reality. Energy follows thought. It's mental matter coming into physical matter. So if we understand the principles behind right thought, it's really helpful. And so saying energy follows thought is not unlike saying knowledge is power. And so when we think of power, we think of stuff happening. Power moves stuff. Energy fuels action. So here we are at right action. And it is going to be, I'm sure, a very, very rich conversation because, you know, it's kind of, to me, Dorothy, at once subjective and objective. So it's going to be really wonderful for the two of us to talk about, you know, what are some truths behind right action? Wouldn't you say?
Yes, yes. And in fact, I agree with you. It is deceptively simple.
I love that.
But really much more complex.
Yes.
And I'd like to just start us off, as I like to, with a quote. This one from Mahatma Gandhi: action expresses priorities.
So nice.
We have thought, what we conceive of, leading to some form, some action, and what that action is reveals what our priorities are. And I think that relates very nicely to the idea of right action. You know, what are the intentions that shape the actions that we choose? And I'm sure we're going to spend month exploring that in a variety of different ways.
Absolutely. And when we observe others' intentions, you know, we learn so much. We learn so much about them. It makes me think straight off. I was just at a party with the son of a very good friend of mine who's now a young man. He was a teenager when I met him. And the first time I met him, their family rents our retreat center, Spirit Fire's retreat center, for the holidays. And he walked through the front door, and I had never met this young man before. And we were busy sort of getting the place ready to switch over. We hand the whole retreat center over to this family. And the first thing he said to me was, "How can I help?" And he was so earnest in his asking of how could he help. Usually my first response to that question is no, I've got it. Don't worry about it. But I really connected with him and with his essence and his intention, as you say, you know, like his priority was to help me. And we did a few tasks together. And as a result of my saying yes and his asking how he could help, I got to know him better. And I will always remember that and always sort of have the utmost respect for him. I just saw him at a party many, many years later. And I still brought that up and said, "Tyler, I just adore you. You know, you're just a really honorable human being," because that just set a tone. So right action affects everybody. You know, our actions affect everyone around us and can really lead to some wonderful group effort.
I think the story that you're sharing, Steve, also underscores another point. I would suspect that part of what was so powerful for you in that interaction was that he did not assume what would be helpful. And all too often, you know, when we think about doing something that's quote, right, we decide ourselves without taking into account the other people in the situation. And it is really important to not assume that we know what would be helpful, but rather to ask.
Right. Absolutely. I remember that I had all of these sort of bags, these big bags of recycling in my hand. And I could see sort of if he had just said, "Oh, let me take those." Well, I know where they're going and I'm perfectly, you know, I can take these out. But it was his really earnest asking, which was like in the right vein. It was the right action. It was the essence there. Yeah. I appreciate that. And I think... Go on.
Go ahead.
I think it's funny, even this idea of help. Tim says this to me all the time, and I sometimes think that for listeners is my partner, and he will often say that sometimes, since we're talking about help, that it is sometimes not helping or non-action that is the right action. So I know that we will really get into this over the month too, which is when is it right action to not act? So, you know, for instance, he'll say, you know, if your roommate never does the dishes and you always do it for them, but because you prefer a tidy home, they'll never learn. So sometimes it's helping by not cooperating or doing what you think would be cooperative, but allowing somebody else to act. I think he's talking about me actually, which is he really wants me to learn to just do the dishes as soon as I'm done with them.
Well, another aspect of that is that when somebody rushes in to help, there can be the message that you're not able to do it. Right, they're doing it for you. There can't, and this is where, you know, intention is so important, because if your intention is, if the way that you view the situation is that the other person is not that competent or not that able to handle a situation, and you come in to take care of them, it's a very, very patronizing type of attitude, that actually disempowers them. Or puts them in a place where they have to push back and say, "No, no, no, I can do it for myself." You know that dynamic?
Absolutely. I think that comes into play in so many instances as well. I can think of also, you know, allowing someone to learn something for themselves too is just another little aspect where if you feel you know, or you feel you could do it quicker, or you feel that you could ace that, or you could just be more efficient. Sometimes people need to learn even a process for themselves, as well as what you're saying, whereas actually it's coming from you. In both of those instances, I would say that it's more about you serving something within yourself, making yourself feel better in the situation. So much of right action has to do with really understanding ourselves and knowing what the consequence of that action will be for the other person and for yourself. Yeah.
I'd like to share a story myself where hopefully I don't do this anymore, or at least not very much. But years ago, I was moving into a new house with a friend, and we moved in. She got all of her stuff into her room, and then she had a family crisis, and she needed to be away for a while. And, you know, everything was in boxes. It was just kind of junky. And I thought, well, I'm going to help. You know, I'm going to unpack all of her boxes and get everything set up for her, and that'll be a really nice thing to do. And you can probably guess what happened. She was furious when she got back. She said she couldn't find anything. That's not the way she would have done it. She didn't ask me to do that. Anyway, you can fill in all of the rest of the dialogue. It was an extremely unpleasant encounter, but a very good lesson.
And did she,
I had expected her to be grateful.
Right. And did you meet halfway, and that she, in a sense, appreciated that your aim was in some way trying to be generous?
No, we didn't actually meet halfway.
Well, then, deliberation. I think that is a really wonderful lead-in to talk about deliberation, really deciding, choice, that wonderful balance between choice and right action. So we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back with more on right action.
Treat the body and expand the soul on June 1st with Lynn Brown. In this all-inclusive retreat, you'll treat your body with breakout sessions in the various elements of nature, enjoy fireside chats while harnessing the healing energy of fire, allow more light with more ease, and activate that connection between the body and spirit. Call 206-931-7356 or visit lynnmbrown.com.
Do you feel that there's a bigger, better life for you? Is there anything holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? If you'd like to find your life's true purpose and calling, join the world's foremost authority on primal spirituality, David Karsher, in Becoming a Son Radio, emotional and spiritual intelligence for a happy, fulfilling life. Tune in once a month to Becoming a Son Radio with David Karsher on the Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit davidkarsher.com today.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Hello, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are talking this entire month of May about right action. So in the first segment, we talked quite a bit about, you know, what is right action, and can there be sort of consequences, or if we're not fully understanding another person's intention, if we haven't made a choice based on, I would say, the greater good, which I'd love to talk about a bit, Dorothy, right? That seems to be really one of the factors of deciding right action is it for the greater good? Is will the outcome serve everybody? And, you know, that really takes some deliberation, and it takes some practicing, and it actually takes a bit of maturity, wouldn't you say?
Well, maturity and self-knowledge, which I think we'll also touch on through the month. Are we acting, in the example I gave just before the break, I might have said that I was doing something which was good for somebody else, but actually what I was looking for was kudos, right? Praise. Oh, aren't you fantastic? So in a very real sense, I wasn't doing it for the other person. I was doing it for my own self-importance.
Yes.
And so I think that it takes mindfulness to become aware of kind of getting ourselves out of the way and seeing, you know, is this really in the best interests of everyone? And I think about negotiation, you know, like the book Getting to Yes. Sometimes the best solution, the greater good, is not my first choice. It might not even be my second choice. But it's a choice that I can live with, and it's a choice that enhances the dynamic of the community, of the whole.
Right, right. And I'm always hearing even creates options, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Which links
but
back.
Another thing that you know, we'll be coming back to that I'd just like to put out there right now is that making choices assumes that we have an ethical framework that helps us understand what we consider to be moral or what our moral obligations are. And that, of course, involves, you know, what the consequences will be. But if we have no internal rudder, so to speak, and we're just acting off the cuff in every situation, the likelihood that we will land on right action by accident, so to speak, is relatively small.
It truly is. Isn't that a kicker? Quite literally, it's a kicker. You know, I mean, and it's why it's so important that we really see ourselves as cooperative components, right? In this thing called life, we've really got to be there for one another and be able to observe each other's choices. And even at times, you know, if someone is not landing on right action, to be able to say something. It reminds me, just not so long ago, I was in a car with someone I'm very close with, and the person in front of us was driving quite erratically. They were speeding up and then slowing down. They were crossing that middle dividing lane, so we were sort of reluctant to pass. And this person I was with was getting very agitated and saying, "No, what's wrong with the person in front of us? They need to get it together." And at one point even called this person an idiot, which I thought was really something, and then proceeded to speed up right on their bumper, like not close, which actually alarmed me. I got a little nervous and thought, well, all right, I have to say something first of all because this is a bit dangerous. But I realized very quickly my friend is in pain, had back issues, and was driving. And I realized this was probably many, many months of pain talking. But so I simply said, you know, listen, perhaps there's maybe a bee in their car and they're allergic to bees and they're really trying to drive and not get stung by a bee. Or maybe they've had a little small seizure, or perhaps it's an elder and they have, you know, no other option but to drive themselves, and they're really not really so fit to drive. And I said, so, you know, really what we need to do is be considerate and consider all that and give them space, because they need our padding. You know, they're not driving so wonderfully and we're aware of that. So we could put on our flashers and create some space between ourselves and other drivers. You know, we have options. And so you sometimes just have to point out to somebody, you know, and my friend hadn't really thought of any of that and just kind of slowed down. And we realized, well, we're going just as fast as we would have been if this person wasn't in front of us. It's just going to take some energy. We have to work with this situation and make some good decisions. So I find that life is always gives us an opportunity toward right action. It gives us an opportunity toward growth and even to being connected, to using our hearts. You know, I think what came over my friend a bit was a bit of compassion, actually, of, wow, what if that was me in a car with a bee? You know, I would want people to create space around me so I didn't get in an accident. So life always gives us those opportunities, I find.
Some people say life is not a spectator sport, right? Whatever we do, we are always choosing, even if we're choosing not to act. We are always part of what's happening. We don't have the choice of being on the sideline. This is it. We are
right
there.
Yeah.
And part of the challenge, Steve, I think, is that, you know, you mentioned the word deliberation earlier. The same action is not always right action, because it depends on the circumstances.
Say
right?
More.
Just in a very trivial way. If I, let's say I'm at an intersection and I'm walking and the walk light comes on and I step off into the street, well, that seems like, you know, that's the logical thing to do. But if I haven't looked around and noticed that somebody is turning the corner, or there's a bicycle coming towards me, or whatever, in those circumstances, it's not right to have stepped off into the street. I mean, it's not the best choice, I should say. It's not so much about right action, but it's not the best choice. So we always have to think about what we're doing within the context of what the consequences would be, as well as what our intention is. So what we intend and what the possible consequences could be.
Right. I mean, goodness, awareness. I mean, at the end of the day, we are talking about awareness, and that really is so helpful to generate right action. And if you think of it, it's happening all day, every day. You know, I mean, life is really just about that, as it is always expanding. There's always more. There are always options. There's always change. So we've always got this sort of this chance for deliberation, you know, this opportunity of, okay, what next and what now?
And I think one of the things that is really important, especially for those of us that are wanting to live an aware and conscious life, there's not always time to deliberate, right? Sometimes the decision has to be made in a split second. And that's why, to me, it is so important to build up a habit of right action, so that you know, you can trust that your reflex will be right action. That you don't, if you don't have the time to stop and think it all through and look at all the different options, that you can trust that your first instinct will be right action.
Right, right. How would you say you could build that? It, just to listeners, you know, on a, is it a matter of being aware of, as we build right action and see that the circumstances that were generated from that action were positive, and always following that sort of lead? Or is it more, is it really about building and understanding our own sense of morality and of rightness, and then adhering to that, sort of living by that code day to day? How do you see it?
Well, I think that it's part of it is cumulative. You know, what we do builds on what we do. I think a really important component of it is reflection. One of the gifts that I feel my parents gave to me when I was young was if something happened, of course, it was usually something that didn't turn out as well as it could have. They would have a conversation with me about what did I see as the consequences of what I had done, and yes. What were other things that I could have done so that, and we would talk through three or four of those. It wasn't like, that's the wrong thing, this is the right thing, but, you know, what if you had done this? What if you had done that? What if you had done the other? So that I was practicing ahead of time what I might do in a future situation. Mm. And that kind of practice, just like, you know, you play scales if you're going, you know, on the piano, if you're going to play a keyboard, well, or probably any instrument, and you do that to get the muscle memory there so that certain sequences just flow and you don't have to think about it. And I think that right action needs to be approached in that same kind of way.
Mm. I really appreciate even feeling into you using your imagination. You know, your parents sort of walking you through, you know, let's sort of take a look at all of these different scenarios and see what would have played out. You know, so you feel into all of those. I really appreciate that. A friend of mine just had her son just got his driver's license and he got into a 4-car pileup.
Ooh.
Yeah, and he just had his, yeah, it's, I could go on. The details get more and more. Ooh, ooh, everybody's fine. Nobody was hurt. But mm-hmm. Goodness gracious, lots of lessons learned. And she's a really great mom. And she really sat him down to ask, well, you know, what did you learn from this? And he said, well, anything can happen really fast. But she said, well, no, that's not quite good enough. Let's go deeper into this. And there's a lot that went on. So I appreciate that, you know, our parents are so sort of, you know, they can that relationship is so important. We're going to go to a break, but I'd love to talk about that, you know, because parents, it's so imperative that parents sort of drill why is right action important into their children. I mean, at a certain age, you've got a certain, you get to make choices that are bigger. You hold a greater responsibility. And so it's important that you have them ponder that. So maybe that's a good segue to talk about why right action is important. What do you think?
Great.
Cool. We'll be right back.
What is a brilliant culture and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit thrivebyjen.com today.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Tune in to the hit show, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are discussing the importance of right action. And before we left off, we were talking a bit about teens. So many of my friends have teenagers and young adults in their lives. So I hear it all the time about these actions of kids. And my 16-year-old nephew, he's got his favorite video games, Grand Theft Auto and Call of Duty and Overwatch. And goodness, I watch him on these games, like just shooting and shooting and shooting with the gun. And I often think, it's not my business, or is it my business to say to my brother, hey, come on, these games are so violent. Like, what are you training this kid? But he's a really good kid. But it also makes me think about, it made me think about what you were saying about needing to practice right options and right action through, we train ourselves by doing this daily. And I sometimes wonder about the effects of some of these video games and holding a gun so much, even if it's not a real gun, if it's imaginary with a PlayStation. But nonetheless.
Well, I have to say, Steve, as a psychologist, the American Psychological Association, has published on this, reports that kind of simulated violence or observing violence has an effect on young people. It has a very specific effect. But if we broaden that out a bit, I gave the example of my parents before the break, but we can parent ourselves this way, right? We can take responsibility to think through options. Steve, we didn't say anything about the collaboration that is underlying this radio show. So let me take the opportunity to say that this radio show is a collaboration between the School for Esoteric Studies and Spirit Fire, both of which are educational nonprofit organizations. And in the spiritual training that the School for Esoteric Studies provides, one of the expectations of students is to do an evening review, to take time at the end of each day to think back through what happened, the consequences, and whether we were in alignment with our intention for the day. And if we were out of alignment, then, what would make a difference? So that's a parallel in terms of thinking through and preparing to reflexively engage in right action.
Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. It makes me think again of morality. Why is right action important? We really need to create a world in which there is a distinction, right, between right and wrong, and get to know that for ourselves. I think of in the early 90s, a friend of mine was a physician during the AIDS crisis, and he would assist people in dying with dignity and in dying painlessly, people who had decided that it was time for them to end their lives, and that they were at a stage where there really weren't many choices left. And he would create a scenario so that when the autopsy was given, that it would look like their heart stopped, that it wouldn't be classified as suicide. And certainly some people would say that that was not moral, that suicide isn't moral, or assisting someone toward suicide isn't moral. And so again, I find right action has so much to do with this capacity to sense our inner truth, which takes alignment, as you're saying, and that practice of contemplation and of assessing after a choice is made. Was that for my higher good and the higher good of others, and the capacity to contemplate? Spirit Fire teaches meditation, to build the capacity to hold an action in light and in observation, and process that on many levels of the higher mind is so important.
Mm-hmm. And I think, underscoring that repeated right action is the way that we build that moral fiber, that strength to do what we know to be right, even if it's a difficult situation, even as, with your doctor friend, where there may be legal consequences of what we are doing. And the converse is also true, that if we repeatedly avoid right action, then right action begins to feel wrong because it's unfamiliar. And you gave an example when we were talking the other day about a teacher who reported that her students, even though it was a scenario, maybe you can tell it, Steve, about the snitch.
Yes. We were talking about the article from The Atlantic?
Yes.
Yes, it was. I actually have the quote in front of me. I found it quite apropos. Was a teacher who presented a scenario to junior English students, and the scenario was this: your boyfriend or girlfriend has committed a felony during which other people were badly harmed. Should you or should you not turn him or her into the police? And the teacher said that the class immediately erupted with commentary. It was obvious that they said that loyalty was paramount, but not a single student said that they would actually snitch. And they were unequivocally unconcerned about who was harmed in this hypothetical scenario. And that troubled the teacher.
Mm-hmm. So, well, it reminds me of the Milgram experiments, which, we attribute to having been done some time ago, but they've actually been repeated over time, and most recently in Poland, where an authority figure instructs a subject, a person, to administer electric shock to someone who's in the other room, and keeps having the volume of the shock turned up higher and higher. There's screams. You can hear that there are some consequences. Now, in fact, nothing is happening to the person in the other room, but these, even though people say ahead of time, I would never do something like that, when they find themselves in a situation where an authority says that this is appropriate and this is what they must do, they go along with it. It's amazing.
Wow. What? It really speaks to me of also the force behind action, because not only are they shocking another, there's force, but that an authority figure who tells somebody to do something, that word, mm-hmm. that this is appropriate, this is what you should do, that makes me question morality. And I mean, granted, I understand this is an experiment and it is all sort of controlled, but that happens, quite often in our world, is somebody directing others and them just following the lead, because there's a force behind words and there's a force behind our instruction and actions. And wow, that is amazing. We receive, and we are sometimes sheep, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But let me give you another example. Let's offset the negative with the positive. If our listeners are not aware, it's been in the news again that there is a lawsuit being brought by Our Children's Trust. It's a lawsuit against the U.S. government saying that that inaction on climate change, not only inaction, but reversing environmental protections is actually going to deprive children of their rights. And what the judge wrote, who ordered that this could go to trial, although, of course, you can imagine that there have been many objections, said that there is a public trust obligation on the part of the government. And she wrote, "Exercising my reasoned judgment, I have no doubt that the right to a climate system capable of sustaining human life is fundamental to a free and ordered society." So that's, to me, a really astounding example of right action, of taking on the burden of pushing for change on behalf of everyone, including future generations.
Well, and also bringing to light inaction, you know, that by not doing something, you know, by not acting on climate change, adults not acting, it's kind of like the teacher being troubled by the students who would not act or be concerned about the victim who was harmed. Well, the victim in this case is the earth, and how wonderful these young adults, right? Calling
9 years old. One of them is 9 years old.
Oh goodness, right? But understanding the power of both, right? Seeing the power of action and understanding the consequences of inaction. It's all all quite fascinating, huh?
Right, right. And it reminds me of the quote from Margaret Mead, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has."
Nice. Yes. It's like the butterfly effect, right? The ripple effect, which says, again, awareness. You know, we if we are committed to change and we're committed to goodness, that it can be powerful. Small things are big things. We teach that all the time in meditation. It makes me think about the Human Bill of Rights. You know, we have talked about that before, and I know that you are very familiar with them, and you've done quite a bit of work, Dorothy. Perhaps I know this whole month we will be able to talk about some of your humanitarian work. I look forward to that indeed. But just reviewing that Human Bill of Rights, you understand that that right action is so necessary in this world, and we all need to be aware of a move toward right action. So we're going to take a break, and could we talk a little bit about that when we come back? Let's talk about sort of what is our responsibility on a bigger scale, on an earth scale, on a human scale.
Sure.
More on that when we come back.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Justice Welling. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spiritualdeed.com.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Steve and I are talking about right action all month. And just before the break, Steve, you had talked about human rights. And I'd like to lead off with some thoughts that I've written about in my book, Principles of Abundance for the Cosmic Citizen. You referred early in the program to the fact that, you know, we are all interconnected. Quantum physics has proven that to us, that we're all part of an energy field, which some people refer to as the one life. So this isn't just a woo-woo metaphysical concept. It is actually a scientific fact. And so if we think of ourselves as cosmic citizens, as part of this great whole, then we can take what has been put into the UN's Universal Declaration of Human Rights and put it in this broader context. And so it gives us both what people talk about as negative rights and positive rights. So negative rights are the things that are freedom from. In other words, what do we have the right to, what do we have the inherent right to be free of? And the kinds of things that are listed in the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights is the threat of unnatural death, slavery or being owned by another person, being kidnapped or trafficked. And I think our listeners may not be aware of how human trafficking is huge. It's a billion-dollar world business, and it includes all countries, not just developing countries off someplace else.
Well, and also that leads quite literally to slavery and to the threat of unnatural death. All three of those are more prevalent than I think a lot of people realize.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's real.
It is real. And related to that is also freedom from torture or being experimented with, freedom from servitude or inhumane treatment. And that's part of the forced labor issue. And then including freedom from an inability to live in one's natural environment. where one chooses to live. And so we have these millions of refugees, you know, washing across the face of the earth, unable to live in their natural environment. And that is something that we all have responsibility for. I know there's lots of debates about, you know, what it costs or the societal impacts of reaching out. But what this declaration would say is we are all responsible.
Yes.
So then, Steve, there are the positive rights, and these are the things that we are assured of. The negative rights we're freedom from. This is the assurance of being treated with respect and dignity. And for anyone not familiar with the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which has been signed by virtually every nation, it is actually international law. This treatment with respect and dignity comes first and foremost in that everyone deserves that, that everyone deserves to be allowed to develop their own personality within their own community. That's an interesting one in terms of implications.
Also the
assurance of being given just and favorable remuneration for work, as well as periods of rest and holidays. I feel compelled to add as a footnote that even in North America, women are still being paid no more than 80 cents on the dollar for the same work as men. This has been, you know, going on for years and years and years, even though we as an international community have made this kind of commitment.
Right.
And so then
All three of those, right, Dorothy? I mean, all three of those are very interesting. Treated with respect and dignity, one's own, you know, to develop your own personality within your own community. My goodness. You know, you can tell we're certainly working in the free world very hard on this, but we slip up. We slip up. And as you gave a perfect example, 80 cents on the dollar it's not just remuneration for work done. And so we've got work to do.
Right. And in Canada, I don't know if it's as lively an issue in the United States, but in Canada there is a very conscious awareness of what has happened to Indigenous peoples in terms of being, you know, young children being taken out of their community, forbidden to speak their language, you know, the whole impact of the residential schools. It's a topic that's very alive, that we're still dealing with the consequences of how to repair those relationships.
Yes, yes.
And so then when we think about our responsibilities, our own responsibilities in relation to right action, I would frame it in two ways, that we have a responsibility to act when we are asked to help. And I put it that way, relating that back to what we talked about earlier in this program. If somebody isn't asking for help, you know, it's not cool to start criticizing them, you know, and saying, well, you could do it better, you know, you could do this. If somebody asks for help, if they ask for feedback, then we do have a responsibility to give that in an appropriate and balanced manner.
Yeah.
And we have responsibility to act to prevent harm. And I'm sure we're going to spend a whole month on harmlessness. But just as, you know, to foreshadow that, we have so many instances of harm in our environment. We may not be able to act on all of them, but I would hope that people feel some responsibility to identify some forms of harm that they can act on, that they can prevent.
And I have a feeling we're going to talk quite a bit about that this month as well, because so much about right action really does have to do with establishing a world that is free of harm. And that's on so many levels. I think just straight away of this social media that is really something we're going to we're constantly having to come to terms with and take responsibility with and over. I think of people that film an event rather than something happening. You know, that idea of the responsibility to prevent harm. You know, sometimes you'll see something on social media and you think, well, why is somebody filming that? This person needs to be helped, not filmed.
Right.
And you think, wow, so we've really got to get it together, which is, I know on our next show, so it's probably a good time to tell our listeners, we're going to talk about that, actually. Why is right action so challenging? You know, we could say in retrospect, the right action would have been. And why don't we act correctly or in a right way so often? So that's going to be the theme of our next show. Well, thank you so much for walking us through the Bill of Rights. It is really something, touches your heart when you think of the work and the goodwill that went into creating this Declaration of Human Rights. Thank you for that. It was great. So, Dorothy, we're off to a great start. Right action. It's been a wonderful conversation with you. And I look forward to next week talking about the challenges of right action.
Yes. And, Steve, can you remind our listeners that people can email us questions?
I would love to. We would love to hear from you, comments or questions. If you have anything you'd like us to bring up or a topic or a question about right action or even would like some more articulation on something we mentioned during the show, send an email to spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com. Dorothy, that about wraps it up. Thank you so much. It's been great, as always, to be with you.
Great to be with you, Steve. I look forward to next week.
All right. I'll see you then. Bye-bye. Thanks, listeners.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.